morning.
Morning, Wednesday.
Last Sunday afternoon, I went to visit my son, and he and his wife were there. And there were two kids, not his, they don't have children yet, but there were two kids there. And I think one was 4 and the other was 2. The 2-year-old, he was just remarkable. You know, he was the height of a normal 2-year-old. He was sort of chubby, had a chubby face with red cheeks and these huge blue eyes. And he had the look of somebody that was just enthralled with being alive. It was so cool. So my brother and his wife were watching these kids while the parents went to do something. So at one point, and my ex-wife was there also, and at one point, my ex-wife Beth, Carolina, my son's wife, and these two kids went down to play on this, I don't know what the right word for it would be, a play set, but it had a slide, it had a rope you could swing on, it had like a little house on top of it, and a bunch of other features. And so these kids started playing on it. And so Ben, my son, and I were sort of on the deck and we were talking, not really paying attention right away. And at one point he said something to me. He said, you know, it's really fun hanging around kids. So we looked at this playset and these kids were really enjoying themselves. And then shortly after, there were a couple of neighbors' kids that came over. And, well, if you have kids or you've ever been around kids, you know what I mean. It was like this nonstop action. But they would go down this slide, I mean, dozens of times, one time after another, with great big smiles on their face and giggling. And this just went on for probably a good half hour, where these kids were just completely free to enjoy themselves, chasing each other around, being silly. And, you know, the kids were different ages, but they all fit in together. And this little guy that I described, he just maintained this wonderful countenance about him. So it was really beautiful. And so this is a quote from a novelist named Patrick Rothfuss. I don't know if anybody knows him, but he said the following. When we are children, we seldom think of the future or the past. This innocence leaves us free to enjoy ourselves as few adults can. The day we fret about future and past is the day we leave our childhood behind. And that's what these kids were. They were empty. They were just purely in the moment, and they were filled with joy and totally innocent, right? Totally innocent. Their minds were not all jumbled up with all sorts of troubles and ideas and stuff like that. So I think that most of us as adults lose our childhood, lose that innocence of our childhood. And in a sense, that innocence becomes innocence lost. But some adults do have a playful and open, joyous connection to life. But this is probably the exception, that they've lost touch, or most of us have lost touch with what we experienced as children. And because of this, there's a strong chance that what will happen is we'll become cynical, depressed, angry, disconnected, and generally unhappy. I don't know, as many of you may know, there's this prison program at the state prison in Avenel, and myself, Joan Huberich's Roshi from Ridgewood, and two of her students, we go there, we provide somebody every 2 weeks, so there's sort of a rotation. And they are studying, the men in this group, which is about 15 men, they're studying the precepts. And so each week one of us goes and we spend 2 hours on Saturday morning studying one of the precepts. It was my turn yesterday. So what happens there is that generally we start out by sitting for 20 minutes. These guys are really steeped, a lot of them anyway, in meditation practice of some sort. They have correspondences with other teachers throughout the country. They read incessantly, as you could imagine. They have a lot of free time. And they are really into it, really into it. It's sort of inspiring, using this time in this way when you're in jail. So we were having a little discussion about how separation affects how we can live out any one of these precepts. You know, so this one was on the power of words and speech and how harmful speech can be. And the title would be Right Speech. And if we are really disconnected, this is not on the macro level, but on the micro level, if we're disconnected with another person, it's very unlikely that we will live out this precept of right speech because we don't care. We don't feel connected, right? We'll probably talk behind their back. I mean, this happens in the workplace all the time. It happens in communities, you know, neighborhoods, where people will elevate themselves at the expense of others or talk behind others' back. So anyway, so we're talking about this and we're talking about separation. And at one point, I guess I asked them to share with me the experiences they've had in the world where this has come up. And so a number of guys shared different things in relation to this, different ways in which they've brought about separation and different ways that's gotten in the way of their being able to live out these precepts. And so one guy that's not been there before sort of gives me a little signal, and I acknowledged. And so he starts talking about how miserable his life is a lot of times because his head is filled with incessant chatter, most of it negative. And we used to say in the 60s, it was a real bring down. And so then he tells us, he said, but something happened last week. I was in the yard in the prison, you probably already know, it's where they get to go outside and just hang out. He was in the yard, and there are trees near where this yard is, and there are birds and stuff. And he said, you know, I just stopped. And I don't know how to explain it, he's saying, but all of a sudden, my mind was quiet, and I just felt free. And he said, it was amazing, I just felt free. And I started looking around me, and I could hear the birds sound like I never heard them before. And the trees were alive. I'm sitting there thinking, this guy's only been meditating for 3 months. And so in a sense, he became innocent. He became free of all the barriers that separated him from life. He, for whatever brief period of time, became innocent like those children. So there are times also when we watch or engage with children that we can become infected by their innocence, their ability to be fully present to the moment. And what happens is, my own experience is that I realize that I have become very lighthearted, joyful, and delighted to be free like this guy to accept the world as it is, right? All the worries and stresses and everything just drop away in the presence of young children. It's infectious. So I would say that these children were playing with a beginner's mind, that a beginner's mind is another way of saying an innocent mind. And, you know, we all remember that Suzuki Roshi said, in the beginner's mind, there are endless possibilities, and in the expert's mind, there are few. Right? So these kids play with a beginner's mind. So then the question becomes, so how do we recover the innocence of childhood? We're not going to be able to be children again, but we can discover how to live a life of presence, joy, laughter, and not attached to our thoughts and ideas. And for most of us, the way to get there, to discover our innocence or rediscover our innocence, most of us, that's why we're here in one form or another, is to become innocent, to live in the world free. So in Zen, we are called back to that original state of innocence. And it usually happens, you know, in a little brief period. When we sit in the morning and we get up and we're making our breakfast, but it's somehow different. It's subtly different. There's some kind of joy or subtle appreciation that takes place in making cereal for the morning. Or maybe it's the sun coming through the window that just hits us slightly different. You know, it's a deeper appreciation for the sun shining on the wall. And it doesn't have to be right after Zazen. It could be any time during the day or night. And so things like a flower, being called fully present into the moment, becoming the moment, retaining our beginner's mind, all of these things happen naturally out of our practice. And in a way, these things that happen, happen because we have become innocent. But to regain this freedom, to regain this innocence, requires effort. It's a effort that's dedicated with the mind that's free of any goal. Free of any goal. As soon as we have a goal, boom, the brakes are on. Just sit and let everything come to us. Let it arise in its own fashion, in its own way, based on who we are. And just one last thing. I'm always touched by a smile. And I'm thinking of one, I was at Whole Foods, and but this young woman said, "Good morning, sir." And she had this beautiful smile on her face. And I could feel my body feel with warmth and maybe the emotion of joy. But it was really a delight for those 60 seconds that we sat there packing, we stood there packing the bags. And so that was being innocent. We were both innocent. If I didn't think she would thought it's weird, I would have bowed to her. So thank you.